In these last days, the Bible predicts a turning away from biblical truth. In order to combat false teachings that are running rampant and a growing lack of biblical literacy, Behold Israel provides weekly public readings of Scripture to equip you with the pure Word of God, read in an international community with interaction and application. Each week, we host different guests from all walks of life. Original readings can be found on our Behold Israel community channel on YouTube or on our Facebook channel. These are audio versions created to make it convenient for your busy schedule. Now, on to our readings.
And shalom to all of you. It's Mike Golay, broadcasting from the north side of the Sea of Galilee, literally right outside of Capernaum, in a hotel called David's Harp, owned by our friend Shmulek Smadja, who owns Sarel Tours. And we have a group here. It's our December tour. 49 marvelous people from several countries. And it is an honor. We just visited BI Connect today. And we just started our first day, actually. And we will continue throughout this weekend and into the week. We are at the end of the year, my friends. And it would be remiss if I didn't say something about the times that we live in, where there is a lack of truth, a lack of clarity, a lack of leadership, a lack of general spirituality. Behold Israel is committed to giving you the truth, committed to giving you the right news, and most of all, we want to take the prophecies of Scripture, make them clear, so that you can teach them in whatever circles that you're in. Tonight, we are going to be looking at Job chapter 40 and 41, and then we will go on over to Acts chapter 3. But these are the days that we live in that we need more Bible. We need less commentary. And so tonight, I'm going to be focusing on the Word itself. And I also want you to keep in mind that every one of us can sit back and listen to the Word of God and let it transform our lives and our hearts. So without further ado, I'm going to throw up on the screen Job chapter 40. And like we talked about 2 weeks ago, remember last week was Thanksgiving, so we didn't meet. We're coming back and we're going to do Job chapter 40 and 41. Again, this is God closing off his advice to Job and those around him. And now we're going to hear just one excerpt of God and then hear Job's response to Almighty God. So Lord, bless this time, this PRS, input into our hearts your truth and inspire us to walk closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it." Here's Job's response to God. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further." Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God, or can you thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place, hide them in the dust together, bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I also will confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Look now at the behemoth, which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now, his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his thighs are tightly knit. His bones are like beams of bronze." This behemoth we don't really know what animal this is. In fact, some people actually believe it might even be a dinosaur or an extinct animal due to the graphic nature of the size and the sheer magnitude of this beast and its parts. Bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the lotus trees in a covert of reeds and marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade, the willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. So what do you think this is? Clearly, let's not lose the point that the largest, most respectable beasts that God created, he's using as an example to show his power. But we don't know exactly what this is. Behemoth, some say maybe a hippopotamus, but then why would you have a tail that waves like a cedar? Or maybe a crocodile, but are the bones like iron or bronze? There's really nothing to fit into this, but a dinosaur would. Not sure what I believe on it. I would love to hear your comments in the chat. We actually now come to the next beast, which seems to be like a dragon. Dragon-like? I don't know. But again, we're talking God querying beasts that he created to demonstrate his magnitude and his glory and his awesomeness. So let's go on over to chapter 41 and let's see what we got here. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook? Leviathan in Hebrew. Just an FYI. Within modern Satanism, they have the pentagram, and then they have five Hebrew letters at the tip. You know what those five letters are? Leviathan. And they would say that it is a dragon or a fire-breathing beast. This is the original, okay? Job was written way before any of this nonsense of evil within Satanism. They're playing off of the Bible and trying to corrupt it. But this was a real beast, quite a massive beast, an impressive beast that God created. But if God created it, how much more awesome is God who created the awesome beast? That's the whole point. Can you draw a hook, draw out Leviathan with a hook, or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? The answer is obviously no. Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Obviously not. Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him as a bird, or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him, remember the battle, never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? See the magnitude of this beast? What is this? Is there anything in modern day that would rival this? Or it's either an extinct animal or maybe some, which would be maybe a dinosaur, I don't know. Again, what are your thoughts? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him. Who then is able to stand against me? That's the point. Fearing God is much more wiser than fearing some random beast, no matter how awesome that beast is. Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or his graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face? With his terrible teeth all around. Pay attention to the details here and see what kind of profile we can put on this beast. His rows of scales, see, scales are his pride. Shut up tightly as with a seal, one is so near another that no error can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. his sneezings flash forth light, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Figurative, literal, what do you think? Sparks of fire shoot out. A lot of commentators believe this is just an ancient dragon. Folklore, maybe? Dinosaur, maybe? Extinct animal, maybe? Smoke goes out of his nostrils as from a boiling pot and burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashings, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail. So you can access, you can get a sword there, but it has no effect. Nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. His undersides are like sharp podsherds. So you see like that scale-like stuff. So like a reptilian. He spreads pointed marks in the mire. He makes the pot deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. He leaves a shining wake behind him. So this is a marine animal? One would think the deep had white hair. On earth, there is nothing like him. So it is something from the sea, maybe can operate on land, which is made without fear. He beholds every high thing. He is king over all the children of pride. So again, folks, these are very insightful words. This is actually very exciting because we are discussing Behemoth and Leviathan as examples of God's greatness. And if you have these two beasts that are awesome in power that cannot be tamed, how much more so God? Yet many of us treat God like a buddy and jump up on his lap, and metaphorically speaking, of course. It is wise to fear God, but yet not to be afraid of God, because of the blood of Christ that draws us near to God, but to look at grace with a sacred respect. Which leads me to Acts chapter 3, and this is where we are going to finalize our PRS this evening. Again, I'd love to hear you in the chat. I hope this feed and internet here at this hotel is working well. But we're doing a PRS, pretty straight reading with slight commentary, and I'm going to be eager to read the comments at the end. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, which was the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. Probably would have been the southern steps. Okay, so everybody went up the southern steps and entered into the temple, and that's probably where he was laid so that the multitudes could see him, maybe give a donation and benevolence offering or whatever. And he was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." Look at the confidence in Peter. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Now, if this actually happens, we already know what the answer is, but when this happens, can you put a price tag on that? I mean, I would have paid money just to see this, okay? And he took him up by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed, of course. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, and he took the opportunity to preach. Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes. And all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So next week, chapter 4, it says, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and drama ensues. So next week, we will look at that. What drama ensues? Well, you'll have to come back. So let us summarize what we have discussed. Job has finally come to the end of his suffering. He has heard from God. God is demonstrating his greatness through his created beasts of the earth. And we would be wise to pay attention, not to be scared of God, but to respect God. Peter, who was just a fisherman, gave a lightning bolt sermon filled with the Holy Spirit after God healed a lame man born that way at the Temple Mount. And here we stand. What are you going through? Where do you need to focus God in your life? Who is God to you? He is waiting for you to approach him with confidence and to say to him, it's time to deepen our relationship. It's time, Lord, that I invite you to show me more of who you are, to see your greatness, and to experience your greatness. That's what relationship is all about. God is eager. He loves us. So continue to pray for us, my friends. We are also in the middle of a tour here in Israel. Pray for each of the souls. There are 49 of them. It's also the time of year where we are, I'm going to throw this QR code up there. This is also the time of year where we're praying. This is the only time where we really ask for your help. We are asking God to bring in the harvest to fund the entire next year. And what we plan to do is with the Young Adults Initiative and continue the ministry of BI Connect. And we plan to travel a lot. We plan to get new teachings out there. And all of this requires resources. And so that is the donation page. And I made a movie or a video clip explaining more of the details of where a donation actually goes to. So scan that code or just go to beholdisrael.org. It's the same thing. Don't be fooled by fakes. This is authentic. So with that being said, may the Lord bless you all. And we will then see you next week. Same time, same place. And we will unpack the final chapter of Job and continue our journey as well in the book of Acts. Until then, shalom, shalom. God bless you and keep you. And may his face and his countenance be bright through you as you walk with him. God bless you.